This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله 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 الله.
Par excellence presents Jewels from the Holy Quran, a series of lectures by Mufti Ismail ibn Musa Menk. Lecture 4. Choose 3 and 3 quarter to 5.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of entire creation. Complete blessings and salutations be upon the masterpiece Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions and those who have followed and shall follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us also from amongst them. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters and dearest listeners, tonight we commenced the recitation of Surah An-Nisa, a very, very important surah because it deals with the women folk. It is named after the women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in it certain regulations and rules and highlights certain issues that are very, very close to the hearts of the women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them close to all of our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah in a very, very interesting way. He begins it by telling us how he created women.
Ya ayyuha an-nas ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidah wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisaa.
O people, look at this, the address is not just for the believers. O people, be conscious of your Rabb, of your Creator, who has created you from one man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to speak about Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, because through him the woman was created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be conscious of your Creator, who created you from a single being, from a single soul, from one human, that is Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And from him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the woman. So it is the duty of the men folk to look after the women. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was alone at one stage. He made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I am the only one of my species. I am lonely. Take away this loneliness. He continued making that dua until one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a gift in the form of a woman. So a woman is to be treated as a gift to a man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. And over and above that, the women are meant to be handling themselves in a manner that they prove that they are actually gifts to the men. Sometimes the way they handle themselves, they become a burden. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our women folk so that they are not like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us firstly how he created the woman. And he makes it clear that look, a woman was actually a gift. And a woman was created from the rib of man so that man should protect this woman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about something very interesting again. He warns us all and he says, be conscious of your Creator and be conscious of the womb that gave birth to you. That means be conscious of the women folk as well and all your relations, those who are related to you through the wombs of the women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ.
Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be conscious of Him. That is the Allah whom you seek items by. Don't we use the name of Allah when we want certain things sometimes? We use wallahi, we promise, meaning we make oaths and so on. And Allah says, and be conscious of the women folk, be conscious of your relations through the wombs, because each one of us was given birth to. But we come oblivious of the status of our own mothers at times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. We are meant to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose mothers for us. We should fulfill the rights of those mothers at all times. And we must understand their value. The one who loses track of the value of women folk and the value of their own parents, his or her own parents, that person is a loser. So here Allah is drawing our attention to that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off mentioning one of the most important things. Close to a woman. How many women have been cheated out of their wealth? Especially after someone has passed away, the wealth of inheritance, and the menfolk come along and they deceive her, they cheat her, they undervalue, they don't want to give her. They tell her, you have been given in the lifetime of our father. Now that our father's dead, you have nothing here. Go away and get from your husband. Allah mentions that here.
وَآتُوا الْيَتَامَىٰ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَلَا تَتَبَدَّلُوا الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ.
Give the orphan child his or her due, more so the female child. And Allah speaks about the helpless child, the orphan child. Allah says, don't change their good wealth with your bad wealth. Sometimes you find an orphan child might have some belongings, and we tend to replace those belongings because we feel this child doesn't really know much, undervaluing items that we are meant to be giving these children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off with that. I'm sure the women folk would have a smile on their faces to say, look in Surah An-Nisa, the opening verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't cheat me when it comes to wealth. Don't cheat me when it comes to inheritance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. One might say that, well, this is speaking about the orphan child, and here you are saying that it's referring to the women. More so, it refers to those young girls who are more cheated than anyone else. The most vulnerable is mentioned in these verses. But it obviously includes every single person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can uplift this deen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another very interesting ruling. Very interesting ruling. What is going on today in the world? Let's be honest. Let's be fair. Many people are engaged in affairs. Sexual affairs. Extramarital affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how He has created a man. And He knows how He has created a woman. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making mention of what is to be given preference over affairs. Firstly, if you like someone, marry them. Get married to them. Propose, and when the proposal is accepted, alhamdulillah, nikah is made so easy. There is no excuse to commit zina. But if the proposal is rejected, go away. Try elsewhere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made nikah so easy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed parents through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that when someone comes to you proposing for your child, do not reject it without a valid reason. Sometimes we reject it just because I had a fight with the father of that man, or I had a fight with the father of that woman, and so on. So I don't want my daughter or my son to go into that house, so I say over my dead body. May Allah protect us. Those statements are un-Islamic. If there is an Islamic reason for your rejection and refusal, alhamdulillah. If not, make it easy for the people to marry, because if you don't do that, you will be encouraging zina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Then Allah speaks about those who are married. If they happen to incline and they still would like to marry more, and remember here, we are neither encouraging it nor are we discouraging it. We are just making mention of a permissibility which is in the Quran. So please make sure that we understand. I am neither encouraging it nor discouraging it. I am making mention of a verse in the Quran. It's not my ruling. It's not your ruling. It's the ruling of Allah. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Sometimes we are guilty of preferring haram over halal, and we don't even want to give halal a chance. And sometimes the men folk are guilty of secretly engaging in certain relationships in a manner that then they use Islam to halalize, if I can use that word. They use Islam to halalize their illicit relationships. That is also wrong. But here, if a person would like to do it, Allah says, come out clear. Speak to the people. Be open about it. And He says,
فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you really want to, you may marry two, three, or four. And it is not barbaric. What is barbaric is when you have mistresses up to 20 and 30, and that is the norm in the Western world. May Allah protect us all. And may Allah make us from amongst those who can uplift His deen. And now we shouldn't go home tonight and use this verse to say, you know what, I'm getting another wife. We were told in the masjid that we are allowed. No, Allah says, if you have reason to do so, and you are going to be just, and you are doing it for the correct reasons, then you may do so, bearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind, giving this halal relationship preference over that which is haram and illicit. Then you will be termed a gentleman and you will be termed a good Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our women folk to digest this more than the men folk. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the men folk from amongst those who will understand that there is a huge responsibility. It's not just a pastime and it's not just something you can have fun about. Go and ask those who have more than one wife. They will tell you, brother, stay away from it. May Allah protect us. So this is the ruling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the Quran, and we must understand it. As I said, I am neither for it nor against it, but here it is, a verse of the Quran. If someone is in need of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown you a permissible way out. Don't engage in secret nikahs, which no one knows about, because the day that comes out, there will be a bigger disaster than anything else. Socially, it is absolutely incorrect to do that. May Allah protect us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after telling us, and after giving us the permissibility of that, and warning us to say, look, if you are unable and incapable of being just, then you'd rather stick to one. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when it comes to inheritance, let me give you the details. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the details of inheritance, the laws. No act of worship has been mentioned in greater detail than the laws of inheritance in the Quran. 1/3, 1/6, 1/8, 1/4, 25%, and so on. Everything is mentioned in the Quran. But there is just one clarification I want to make. Nowadays, a lot of people are looking at the Quran and they say, you know, it's unfair. It is prejudiced against women. Why? Because women get half of that of men. That is absolutely absurd. A person who says that does not know the Sharia. A woman gets 10 times more than a man. Let me explain to you how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. That man who is related to the deceased in the same way that the woman is related to the deceased gets double that of a woman. So now it sounds in numbers that, oh yes, she got half. Let me explain to you. The wealth given to a woman by Islam is exclusively hers. It belongs to no one else. She can use it for her luxuries and that's it. She can buy her cosmetics and all her extras with it. But when it comes to a man's wealth, say for example, 75,000 rands has been left. 50,000 will go to the man and 25,000 will go to the woman. It sounds like she got less, isn't it? But let me explain to you. In that 50,000, that man has to look after that sister of his who got 25, and that 25 of hers is solely hers. Nobody has the right to claim even a cent from there. But this 50,000, he has to look after his wife, his children, or his progeny, those who are under his guardianship, including that woman, because he happens to be the closest male relative to her. And in Islam, he has to look after her needs, the basics, food, clothing, and accommodation. Allahu Akbar. So if people don't want to follow the religion, it's not my fault, it's not your fault, it's their fault. But no one can say that Islam prejudices against women. If we would like, we could say, no, those who are saying we share half-half, and you've got to put in when it comes to the house and your responsibilities and so on, those are the ones who are putting a woman far below where Islam has put her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. So don't be deceived by the statements of the age where people are saying you've got less. No, in actual fact, you've got more. And you've got a right even in that which you did not get in your hands. May Allah protect us all. Your portion, you can invest it and it can go far beyond. His portion, he can't do that with it because he has to look after you with that as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And after mentioning these rulings, firstly telling us about women, telling us about where they come from, warning us in their regard, warning us about our relationships, informing us about the ruling about polygamy in Islam, telling us the details about the laws of inheritance, then Allah says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. Those are the rules of Allah, the limits of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ.
Those who fulfill the laws of Allah, who understand them, who accept them, who obey the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be granted Jannah in all these rules and regulations that we mentioned, more so the laws of inheritance. We will grant them Jannah and they will be from amongst those who will be successful in a great way. And Allah says immediately after that,
وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ.
Those who go beyond the limits of Allah, those who reject the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it comes to polygamy, whether it comes to inheritance, whether it comes to the status of women, whatever it is regarding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for them, there will be a severe punishment. In fact, he uses the term, خَالِدًا فِيهَا. They will dwell in torment for a long, long time. That term, خَالِدًا فِيهَا, is hardly used for the believers when it comes to hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance of the laws of the Qur'an and the laws of the Sharia, the laws of the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we might be weak, but rather than rejecting, say for example, the law of polygamy, if a woman says, no, that is not Islam, then she loses her iman. She's questioning her own faith. But rather, she'd rather answer saying, you know what, I know it's permissible, but I am weak. I cannot yet digest it. I might be weak and I may not be able to digest it. I may not be able to live in that particular situation, but I do agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted you and allowed you. That's a better way of wording it than to reject it outright. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. Once again, I clarify, we are neither for it nor are we against it, but we are just mentioning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about, and I am just presenting the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that speaks of tawbah. Why does he speak of tawbah immediately after that? Not a coincidence. Allah speaks about it because there might be some people who've already transgressed the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've gone far beyond. They've already cheated people when it came to business and inheritance and so on. And they've already said so many things from their mouths and made so many, meaning actions that are un-Islamic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us hope here. But that hope is explaining how tawbah is accepted and from whom it is accepted.
إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ فَأُولَئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ.
Tawbah is for the one who commits a sin and repents immediately thereafter. Regrets after committing the sin. إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when your good deed makes you happy, and when your bad deed makes you regret, then that is a sign of iman. Because now you know you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same applies when a person commits a sin and turns to Allah immediately, tabaraka wa ta'ala, they will be forgiven inshallah. But not for the one who keeps on committing sin and says, you know what, I'm still young, let me commit sin because I still haven't performed hajj, let me commit sin until I go for hajj. Or let me commit sin until I'm old, then one day I'll turn my hands, one of the Ramadans, when Sudais comes to our masjid, then inshallah I will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That might never happen. May Allah protect us. I might die now, whilst I'm standing here in front of you. So Allah says,
وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حتى إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قال إني تبت الآن.
Allah says, tawbah is not for the one who keeps on committing sin until death comes to the person. Then they say, oh, now let me repent. That is like Fir'aun. Remember Fir'aun? What happened to him? He committed sin until he saw Malakul Maut. When he saw the angels of death, he said, hey, I believe in Musa alayhi salam's God. And Allah says, al-ana, is it now? Yet you have been transgressing all along. And you are from amongst those who are corrupt. We don't want to be resurrected amongst, meaning with the people similar to Fir'aun and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the turning now, here, It is not difficult for us to say, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, I am repenting. Ya Allah, I am promising you that I will turn in every single way towards you, Ya Allah. And I will leave my bad ways and habits. Ya Allah, I'm going to be an asset to my family members. Ya Allah, I'm going to be an asset to my community, to the Muslim Ummah at large, to myself more than anything else, Ya Allah. May Allah grant that to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that hope. Then He makes mention of the fact that, you know, the rules and regulations and the laws of the Sharia are very, very simple. We make them difficult for ourselves sometimes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. All these laws are not placed in order to make life difficult for you. Allah says, we know that man has been created very weak. Man is weak. So Allah says, we want ease for you. We don't want difficulty for you. Look at the laws of the Sharia. When you are traveling, your salah is cut. If you can't read standing, you can sit down and so on. If you are unable and incapable, you can give a fidya instead of fasting under certain circumstances and so on. Islam is so easy. It is not very difficult. And the laws that Allah has dictated upon us are very simple. But sometimes we don't understand them. And sometimes we intentionally make them difficult because we add in a lot of add-ons which are un-Islamic. May Allah protect us and may He make us understand and realize that really the deen is very easy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, I want to forgive all of you. But shaitan makes you lose hope. Shaitan makes us lose hope. And that is why a person who loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has automatically worshipped shaitan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Allah wants to forgive everyone. Allah wants to forgive you, He says. May He forgive us all. And He says, those who are astray, they want to turn a complete turning. And shaitan makes people lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we really feel the closeness of Allah. And may we really get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the days pass. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, don't be envious of what we've given other people. Don't be jealous of what we've given other people. What can a person be jealous of? There is a lot. But Allah makes mention of three things. He says, wealth, people become jealous of wealth. Someone has got a lot. Allah's the one who's given. When a person becomes jealous of someone else, they are questioning Allah's decree. Allah says, I want to give them so much. He's the one who decides how to distribute whatever He wants to distribute. And we say, no, Ya Allah, why did you give that person? It means, Ya Allah, I disagree with your distribution. Na'udhu billah. May Allah protect us. We shouldn't be thinking that way. Be happy for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Speaking about certain people, Allah says, are they jealous regarding what virtue we have bestowed upon some others? Allah says, wait, there is wealth, there is knowledge, and there is wisdom. Sometimes people become jealous of knowledge. Someone's been granted a little bit more, and others become jealous to say, well, that person doesn't know anything, you know. That is what shaitan did. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was given a virtue and shaitan said, no ways, that person is lower than me. I will never ever bow down to that virtue. So that is the quality of shaitan. That pride, that jealousy, that arrogance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be jealous neither of the wealth, nor of the knowledge, nor of the wisdom. Sometimes a person is very wise, they know how to speak. When we don't know how to speak to others and we become jealous, why is that person getting away with everything all the time? No, we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, increase them and give me a little bit as well. فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. Allah says, the family of Ibrahim, we gave them everything you can think of. They had kingdom. They had knowledge of the book. And they also had lots of wisdom. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us even a little bit of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Do not become envious of what we have granted in terms of virtue for some of you above the others. Don't become envious of it. Especially when it comes to the laws of inheritance mentioned here, a woman must not say, no, why did I get so little and why did he get much? No. Remember, if you go through these verses, you will see that in the case where a woman does not have an equal male relative who's there to look after her after the death of that particular deceased person, meaning after the death that has occurred, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her half of the wealth, or sometimes two-thirds if there are more than one. Amazing. Let's go through the verses and we will come through the secrets of the Quran and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So rather than objecting it, we'd rather learn it from sources that really we will feel thereafter that no, we've learned something in alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, you know what? Be just. Stand up for justice. Because obviously, if you would like to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to be just. And as we said in the Quran, and I'm sure every Friday we hear the verse,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ.
Allah commands and instructs us to uplift and uphold justice at all times, and then goodness. Why justice and then goodness? Because sometimes a person says, nah, never mind, just leave them, it's all right. But what do you mean? It's my right. And they are trampling all over me. So they say, no, just be good. Don't worry. Forgive them. Forget about it. Forgive. Forget. Forgiveness and forgetting has a limit to it. At times, we need to be just. And we need to serve justice. So that people do not get away with murder. Just because they will then feel, don't worry, this person will forgive me and they'll forget about it. Let me trample all over them. As it is, don't you know they've forgiven this one and that one? So Allah says, first be just. Then you must know goodness will come thereafter. Do not try and claim to be good and pay as a payment for that justice. So you are giving up justice and you're saying, no, claiming that I'm good, I'm actually good. There's no goodness in giving up justice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are just. When it comes to rulings and in these verses, and I would suggest that everyone pick up Surah An-Nisa, especially those who are married. Read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned how to solve family disputes here. And Allah does not use the term talaq in this surah. He does not use the term divorce here. He says, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا. If the two separate, if the two decide that they want to part ways, after what? After having tried. What type of trials are mentioned in these verses, in this surah? Allah says, when there is a problem between husband and wife, the two must sit together firstly. They must discuss the problems. They must come to a solution, not based on what she wants, not based on what he wants, based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. If the two cannot come to a solution, then they must involve senior family members from either side.
وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا.
Allah says, when there is fear of a split, then each one should appoint a senior member of the family on his or her side, and if they really intend to solve the problem, Allah will bring them together. But what is the problem with us? When we have arbitration, each one wants to prove, I was right, that one was wrong. So I was always right. Forget about who was right and wrong. Learn, when it comes to husband and wife, learn to forgive and forget, inshallah. And learn not to bring up the past. The minute the past is brought up, we are destroying whatever we've built and whatever we are planning for the future. So what happens, sometimes you have a 1 hour, 2 hour arbitration and people have forgiven and forgotten, and as they're walking out, the wife says, you see, I told you it was me who was right. Everything is finished. Then the screaming starts, the shouting starts once again, and everything. We should not go in with the intention of proving who was right and wrong. Allah says, in yurida islahan. If your intention is islah and rectification, you will come out with solutions and results. But when your intention is to prove who was right and wrong, you will prove who was right and wrong, but you won't come together in marriage. May Allah protect us all. So that's the solution mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that if you've tried that, you've brought the parties together, you've tried the various means of pressurizing either side into coming to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then still you find that that is impossible, then what you've got to do, then you separate in goodness. You don't keep a woman hanging, as we mentioned. It is also in this particular surah again. If it is going to work, it's going to work. If it's not going to work, release her with goodness. That is why it is reported that Ali radiallahu anhu has said, زوج ابنتك تقيا إن أحبها أكرمها وإن أبغضها لم يظلمها. Get your daughters married to those who are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they love them, they will honor them. And if they dislike them, at least they won't oppress them. They'll send them home in one piece. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding that when a divorce occurs, don't become too bitter about it. It has happened, it's not the first divorce, nor is it the last divorce. Don't become too bitter. Understand, if that girl has come back home in one piece without being oppressed, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our daughter is back home. It might not be the ideal situation, but at least she was not beaten till her bones broke. And remember, wife bashing is haram. Here in these verses, the issue of the beating is mentioned in these verses, but the understanding is not my understanding, nor is it yours. The understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That does not mean, right, the Quran has told me I'm allowed to bash a woman, bring my baseball bat, let me bat her. No, that is absolutely haram. Do you know that a marriage can be nullified by the group of ulama if a husband has bashed his wife? If that was permissible, why then would it be allowed to nullify the marriage just through him having beaten her? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So those people who are going around saying the Quran allows a man to beat a woman, they don't know what they're talking about. The Quran says that when, as a last resort, a woman is not listening and she does not want to look at you when you are talking to her, you may draw her attention by tapping her. That is the term. Darb does not necessarily mean to go out and beat and thump and thud. If that was the case, we would have read so many ahadith of the Sahaba having done that, radiallahu anhum. They didn't do that. But when we read the ahadith, they used a siwak. Do you know what is a siwak? A small stick which is used to clean the teeth, compared to the baseball bats that we are using today. A small stick that is used to clean the teeth, that was only used to draw the attention of the women. That was how they understood wadribuhunna. That is how they understood it. So why should we then try and say, no, the Quran doesn't have that verse, when we go and speak to those modernists and those people who want to now delete verses of the Quran? Don't deny it. Say, look, the understanding is the understanding of the Sahaba. And also over and above that, a woman who's been bashed, you have the right to apply to the ulama, to the bodies, to the ulama authorities in the Muslim countries, to the courts. And that marriage will be nullified on those grounds. If it was permissible, how could it have been nullified? So let's understand the Sharia. There's no loopholes in Islam. And there is nothing barbaric in this Sharia. That is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about learning the Quran, understanding the Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Why don't they want to understand the verses of the Quran? The Mufassireen have said from here that it is farad upon every Muslim to do his or her best to try and understand what the Quran is saying. We need to pick this Quran up and learn it. And we need to understand the verses of the Quran. It's farad on me and farad on you to do that. And that is why we are seated here, solely to listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in this Quran. So Allah says, do you know that if this book was revealed by anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would find in it a lot of contradiction. But there is no contradiction in the Quran. May Allah make us strong so that we can actually learn this Quran and we can understand it and we can practice upon it and we can teach it to others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that speaks about the hypocrites, and we know the qualities of the hypocrites. And Allah says, it's amazing how people can actually befriend hypocrites. It's amazing how people can befriend hypocrites and people can say, no, don't worry, never mind, it's okay, they are light, it's okay. When a person clearly starts objecting the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are claiming to be Muslim, if they are non-Muslim, it's another issue. But when they are claiming to be Muslim, they become very, very, very dangerous. So therefore, we should not befriend such people. We should try and help them and assist them. And we should make dua for them as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of two issues. The first is, he says, you know the secret meetings you have? Those secret meetings, they are of no goodness unless there is some form of positiveness that is coming out of it. لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. There is no goodness in those secret meetings that the people hold unless in it they are ordering, commanding good, commanding charity and solving problems between people. A lot of times when we have clandestine meetings, it is in order to backbite, in order to deceive, in order to plan and plot the downfall of someone. As Muslims, that shouldn't be the case. When we speak behind people's backs, it should be good. When we speak in front of them, we must be candid and straightforward. May Allah make us from amongst those. Then Allah says, warning us all, telling us, listen, I don't need you, you need me. So many of us, we know that actually. So many of us are guilty of forgetting that.
إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ وَيَأْتِ بِآخَرِينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَدِيرًا.
Listen very carefully, Allah is saying, if He wants, He can replace you with other people. He can cause your complete destruction and replace you with some others who will then worship Him. So don't think you are doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by standing in Taraweeh, by fasting. We are doing ourselves a favor. Really, we are helping ourselves, and inshallah, we ask Allah to accept it from us. Allah is showing us His independence. And He is telling us, if I want, I can destroy you and replace you with others. That is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He not do that to us. May we be from amongst those who are grateful at all times. And may we be from amongst those who can use this month of Ramadan to change and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be happy at the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayki.